Hello and welcome to the first ever URC podcast here on Absolute Motorsport Radio. URC, or the Ultimate Racing Championships as it is known in full, is an F1 esports championship that pits some of the best sim racers against one another as they represent their own league or esports team. The 2019 URC season is now under a month away from starting and we'll be covering it every step of the way. This weekly podcast will preview and review all 21 races of the season, feature interviews with some of the competing drivers and team managers, and bring you the latest news and announcements from the league itself. Stick around today as we preview the upcoming season and reveal news on the format for the all-important pre-season test. Here we are then, the URC podcast. I'm James Casey, coordinator of URC and managing director here at Absolute Motorsport. And I'm pleased to say that I'll be joined by two regular co-hosts over the course of 2019. First up, we have James Baker. And James, if you'd just like to say a few words about yourself, that'd be great.
Oh yeah, hello everybody. Of course, I'll be I will be covering the entire season with URC, and I've seen the transition between URC and ULC, and I mean, we could always put in and throw in the old Twitter, you know what I'm on about. Go follow me at DiabloJB33 for any updates that you may see over the course of this URC season.
And then also we have Jack, or Soup Cooler, as he's known. And again, just a few words about yourself, please.
Yeah, hi everybody. My name's Jack, otherwise known as Soup Cooler. I am a commentator on the PS4 side, and I'm also the sim racing rider with Absolute Motorsport. You may have seen some of the stuff up on the website. My Twitter is at _SoupCooler, you know, edgy stuff with the underscore. But yeah, looking forward to seeing what URC can bring.
And obviously the URC is something very new. We've had the United League Championship, as it's been known, going on for 3 years now. But a complete change of philosophy now with the Ultimate Racing Championships. And the main change, the reason why it's changed name, is because esports teams are going to be allowed in the competition for the first time alongside leagues. And we've got a pretty good number of esports teams entering for the first time. James, do you think that adding in the esports teams is going to strengthen the league for this season?
I think, definitely it will do. In terms of the whole team environment, when you look on the grand scheme of things, it's probably the big news there. I mean, leagues were always quite close in proximity with ULC, and we always saw, you know, good chemistries and teammates arise with STS, for example, and AOR in the past as well. So having these esports teams, I actually think it brings the whole, you know, kind of team element of URC. It's just much closer now, so they're going to be working together a lot more, because ultimately the end product is for their esports team to be recognised on a big scale. This is a big league with plenty of teams and plenty of leagues, so they want to prove themselves against some of the very best.
We've got definitely a more crowded sign-up so far in comparison to previous years. Esports teams really flooding in, and it's definitely an area to me... That's really expanding at the moment, and I think that a lot of teams will hopefully see this as an opportunity, as you say, to share themselves, promote themselves. But it's going to be tough, I think, the competition, and new teams coming in have got plenty of work to do, haven't they, Jack?
Yeah, the new teams, they're going up against it. They're jumping at the deep end with URC. I think you've got some real long established teams in there with a very long history of success. But again, if they, as James said, they can prove themselves on the big stage, and that's going to be brilliant for them, social media side, and obviously attracting drivers in for their teams, and giving themselves, getting a name for themselves, we'll say.
Another thing that is really a big change this season is the calendar. Previously, I think, season one had 6 races, season two had 8 races, season three had 10 races. So you would have thought that this year we'd be doing 12, going up by 2. No, it's going to be 21, the full calendar. And it's going to be running alongside the real Grand Prix as well. So 21 races from March through to December.
and that is going to be pretty interesting. Definitely going to be a challenge as well, because they're going to be going across games. The season will start on F1 2018 and it will continue on to the new F1 2019 game when that comes out as well. Do you think that that could maybe change things up a little bit mid-season, James?
I mean, the difference in comparison between some drivers from 2017 and 2018, I can only speak about the Xbox side, has been quite vast, quite big. We've seen some stars that perhaps in 2017 weren't at their very best, but in 2018 they've absolutely nailed it. So actually, yeah, I think the transition may make this whole season a lot closer. 21 races is a long, long time to be going racing, especially the duration that we're doing it for, the whole 9 months or 8 months or so. So these guys are going to, it's a big test. It's a big test to swap games and be quick on both games. You may not see the same championship leader come start to finish throughout, whereas sometimes in the past, maybe we have done. So it's going to be interesting.
So obviously, James was speaking there about Xbox side, people change between games. What could you say about the PS4 side? Has that been the same between 2017 and 2018, Jack?
Between 2017 and 2018, I don't think there was as much of a shift as there was on the Xbox side. But again, it could change come 2018 to 2019. And it is going to make for some big shakeups, I think, with obviously you've got the new technical regulations coming into F1 this year. So there wasn't actually that much of a change in downforce levels between 2017 and 2018. But maybe 2019, the cars will have a certain driving style that might suit other drivers than before. But yeah, it's definitely going to make for some interesting viewing.
Yeah, and I think that is a fair point to say. It might not make much difference, but it could well do. So that is just something to watch out for later on in the season. We don't know exactly when F1 2019 is going to be coming out. It does vary a little bit year to year, but I expect that we'll see quite a few races towards the end of the season on the 2019 game. So 21 races, and at the end of those 21 races, there's going to be something new as well coming in for this season, which is going to be promotion and relegation between Tier 1 and Tier 2. Now, there's definitely going to be two tiers on Xbox. We're not exactly sure whether there will be a second tier in PS4 yet. We'll get onto the entries later. But definitely on Xbox, we'll see a promotion and a relegation. The top three teams from Tier 2 will go up. The bottom three from Tier 1 will go down. Previously, we've seen leagues kind of in Tier 1 struggling, and the kind of format didn't have a promotion relegation because they were both across two tiers that the leagues were competing. So really a lot of pressure on the teams in Tier 1 now to perform throughout the season. And I think that we should now see teams really keeping up their efforts throughout the season. How do you think that might affect things, James?
I mean, absolutely, you're right in terms of it, but they should be, they're constantly playing for points, aren't they? If you watch, I mean, I hate to bring into an example, but if you watch football, you won't see a team that are in the bottom three of the Premier League decide, okay, we're going to give up now, that's it, that's enough. No, they're going to constantly keep fighting. They're going to ever try to strengthen as much as they can. And that may come through the change that we get between games as well. So the whole relegation idea and promotion idea is just one that just toys with the leagues and the teams and maybe gives them something else to think about. We don't want to drop into the relegation zone, but likewise in Tier 2, they'll be wanting to push for a promotion. It's going to be that's really interesting. I think that's going to be that's one of the big talking points, I think, from the whole new structure of URC.
And part of this new structure is that now, rather than we kind of had previously where leagues would have two teams, one would compete in Tier 1, one would compete in Tier 2. You'd put the points together to make the overall championship. Whereas now, teams are going to enter A and B teams if they want. They don't have to enter a B team, but most teams have so far. And if both of their teams are really strong, they can both go into Tier 1. And if both of them aren't quite so strong, they'll be in Tier 2. So we should see closer competition in both tiers, basically. Definitely on the Xbox side, which I think is a good thing, because previously we did kind of see a few leagues a little bit out of their depth in Tier 1, didn't we, Jack?
Yeah, there's always going to be those guys who maybe may have been quick in the TT, but then when you come into the actual racing, the pace falls apart. So definitely the second tier is going to give I guess a bigger competitive edge to the racing. In a way, guys are going to be pushing to get into that tier one. They're going to be going hard at it, practicing every single week, trying to get themselves up into the points, and obviously fighting for podiums, wins, etc., etc. So tier two and tier one both going to be super competitive, I think.
So really hoping that this kind of new system works out, but certainly looks like it should make for some interesting racing at the moment. And of course, that all depends on the entries. I'm going to just start running you through a few of the entries that we've had so far. Now, first of all, I'm going to start with BPRL, who are back for the fourth season in the league. They're the only team at the moment signed up who've competed in the previous three seasons, so they're going to be our only team left from the very start. Nice to see them back again, isn't it, James?
Yeah, absolutely. They haven't had the performances, especially recently in terms of URC, that would be, you know, they would want, but they've had some solid results in the past few years, so they'll be looking, hopefully, for maybe a title mount, who knows.
TSRL are another team that have previously competed. They were sixth last year in Tier 2. They had one podium, actually, with Trumper Rumpet in Tier 1, which was probably their highlight. They're back again. Again, like BPRL, they're both going to be renting two teams. Nice to see those guys back as well. And then we've got a few new teams in there as well. We've got ERL Esports, VSR, Visceral Racing, good to see them. I think that they'll be pretty strong, Jack.
Yeah, wherever you go, VSR are always going to be strong. They're on Xbox and PS4 as well. They've got some seriously strong guys in there, so I think they're going to be fighting in and around midfield to the top, I think.
Looking through, who else have we got? We've got Thrive Esports. They're a pretty big name, so I think that they'll be good competitors out there. We've got Livid Racing, who are another team that are going to be entering in both Xbox One and in PS4, two teams in both, which is good to see. And then we've got a few new names, a few more new names actually, like RFL, Team Novice, 183 Esports. So plenty of new faces in there, and I'll be honest, myself, they're an unknown to me. Are there any of those that we know about that we could possibly pick out to be contenders up the field?
I mean, I know RFL are they're a league that are going places, I'd think. They've definitely proven themselves over the last year and a half, starting to growing stature of the league. They're starting to get in the drives as well to make that league look more competitive. I think they'd be a solid team in the league, but I'm not sure whether they could push for a title. They may do. Nothing's completely out of the question. Anything can happen. But ones in particular, I think you should probably keep an eye out, to be fair, for RFL.
Yep. And on the PS4 side, we've got One Hub Racing, Dynamic Racing League, PlayStation GL, Straight Line Racing. Lots of esports teams on the PS4 side so far. We've only got two leagues entered. And four esports teams, so very esports heavy at the moment on PS4.
Yeah, really, really esports heavy. And I know plenty of those esports teams that signed up on the PS4 side also run their own leagues, namely One Hub, they have their own league, PSGL have their own league as well. VSR obviously don't, but some seriously strong drivers going to be, especially in, of course, VSR. You've got some really strong guys in One Hub. PSGL, I think, are going to be ones to watch as well. So looking forward to seeing how they get on.
So there we go. That is a quick run through of all of the entries that we've got. Entries haven't closed just yet, so there might be a few more coming through. I know that Inside Line Racing, another really big league, they haven't registered yet, but they should be in. So that's another one to really look out for. I'm sure that they'll be very strong as well. But let's get on to the pre-season test now, which is probably the major bit of news that we've got for this episode. So I touched on it earlier in the fact that there has been a change this season. There's going to be a promotion and a relegation, and there's going to be a change to how teams are put into the tiers on Xbox and hopefully on PS4 as well, if we get a few more entries. But let's just play a quick clip now of me explaining how the preseason test is going to work.
URC pre-season test will take place at Catalunya, Spain, exactly 2 weeks before the opening round of the 2019 season. The pre-season test will be important as it will decide the tiers that individual teams are placed into and the order of car selection for the season. A random draw will take place on March 1st, which will decide the session and car that each individual team goes into. The test will be a set of 30-minute practice sessions in clear weather conditions with damage turned off. Drivers will spend the session trying to put in their best possible lap time, and each team will then have a combined time between their two drivers. The teams with the top 10 fastest combined times will be placed into Tier 1, with the fastest time getting first car pick, the second fastest second pick, and so on. If a league or esports team has both their A team and B team in the top 10 fastest combined times, then both will compete in Tier 1. Tier 2 will be made up of any league or esports team that don't have a team in Tier 1, and then the remaining spots will be filled by the fastest B teams that haven't yet been assigned. This means that all leagues or esports teams that have applied for the season will get at least one team in Tier 2 at the very worst. Again, car selection for Tier 2 will be based on the fastest combined times. At the moment, 26 individual teams across 14 leagues or esports teams have entered on Xbox, which means there will most likely be 3 30-minute sessions, and on PS4 there will be either 1 or 2 practice sessions. A final update on the number of sessions for each console and the timings for them will be released on Twitter after the entries close this Sunday. Find us on Twitter at URC_F1 for those updates.
So there we are then. That is how the preseason is going to work. And just to remind you, if you missed it, the date is March 5th. So not too long to go now. That's just a little bit over a week from when the deadline for the entries is. So it's going to be an interesting pre-season test, and quite a bit different to how we've done it in previous years with time trial sessions. And what do we make of this format then of using practice sessions, James?
Practice sessions, I like the idea, if I'm honest. TT times, you know, it does get a bit long-winded. I think there's a bit more pressure with the pre-season test. They only get 30 minutes, whereas they've done a time trial for however long. They could be doing a time trial from when the sign-ups begin to when they end eventually, for that kind of thing. So they may be spending up in an access about 2 weeks trying to get a good time in. And then ultimately it comes, like Jack said earlier, to the first race. And actually, they may not be on par with everyone. So come this pre-season test, they may have to... They will practice perhaps beforehand, but they won't have as much time to practice for this pre-season test. That's what's going to make it interesting as well. Hopefully we see a few drivers, a few teams, a few leagues as well, just thrown into the mix that we perhaps didn't expect.
The only possible problem, and obviously as the coordinator of URC, I have actually come up with this idea, but the only problem is that we could see leagues possibly put out of place if they have a bad day. But on a plus side, that does put a lot of pressure on them. Do you think that there could be anyone who kind of is affected badly by the pressure of having to put in a good time in 30 minutes, Jack?
Well, yeah, there's always going to be that element of pressure in the 30-minute session. As James said, you can spend days, weeks practicing on TT, but you also have on the 2018 game anyway, the driving style is totally different between TT and practice sessions, online practice sessions anyway. So there is going to be, I don't know if they've maybe been sweating on TT for a couple of days. They're going to have to adjust their driving for the practice session. They might not have got a proper setup going. So there is going to be that element of pressure. And of course, you're going to have to work out what compounds you got to go on as well. So there is always going to be that element. Oh no! What if my wheel breaks or any of this sort of stuff? But it is going to add an interesting dynamic, and we could see a little bit of a shake up in the tiers as a result.
And just to make it clear, again in the video, there was there's not going to be damage, not going to be clear weather. So if you are listening and you're concerned about, well, what happens if I just crash out straight out of the garage? Don't worry, you weren't you won't be able to do that. Well, you could crash, but you won't damage your car. Yeah, that will be taking place, as I said, March 5th, and then 2 weeks after, we will be going to Australia. And the calendar is going to be a pretty busy one, even though it's stretched over 9 months. Formula One in real life is very, very busy now, so there's not going to be too much rest for the drivers. I think, apart from the summer break, there is a race at least every other week at the most. So not like these drivers are going to be getting an easy time of it, and there's still going to be plenty of work to be done throughout the season between the races, James.
Absolutely, and when it comes to that mid-season point between Hungary and Belgium is where we're usually looking at. That's, like I said, I think the mid-season this year, amongst any other seasons we've had, is just make or break, really. I mean, the amount of practice you can put in during that, it's about 4 week period where they have a slight break. It's going to be, you know, it's just intriguing to see how they manage each of these races, because there is a slight gap in between. They're not used to racing like within 3 weeks of each other. So one race and then we miss a week and then another race the next week. So actually, in that case, they're going to have to really think about this, really structure it out in terms of how they practice, how long they practice for. It's quite crucial for them over the course of the entire season.
So that is it for our episode today. The next time that we're going to be back is going to be post the pre-season test. And by then, we'll be able to give you a grid rundown of who exactly has made it into Tier 1, who into Tier 2, and any kind of late entries that we haven't covered today. As I said, it will be a weekly podcast once the season gets underway, so don't expect it to be the next episode to be exactly a week on from this episode to the next one. But when the season gets underway, we're going to have weekly episodes. And I hope you guys enjoyed listening to us today. And I, for one, am really looking forward to doing this podcast throughout the season. So I hope that you join us again for the next episode. Again, thank you very much and goodbye.